Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the TMGS. Right now, we are getting ready to go live on Zoom. So got a little slow up with Zoom, but we're about to go live. So stay tuned, and here we go.
Hello, everyone. This is Chanel. Hey Sean, hey my girl Tia. Side to side. What's up, Sean?
Hey,
I think we're all back. Let me go ahead and get it together here. You have jokes. Okay. Good evening, everybody. How y'all doing? All right, what's happening, y'all? Yes.
Hey.
Okay. All right. Now, we had a little problem with Zoom. I'm sure everybody has experience with Zoom and some issues. So let's go ahead and get this show started. We've gone almost 10 minutes into it. So my co-host here that's going to join in, Denise L. Wilkerson, where are you at on the board, sweetheart?
I'm here.
There she is. Oh, okay. There you go. Hey, everybody, say hello to my co-host from the legendary Ladies of Sky. You all know, call me if you need someone to, you all know that. Denise L. Wilkerson.
How are you doing?
Okay. Yeah, When You Touch Me, Here's to You, yeah, all those great hits. So you guys, Corny's going to join us momentarily in just a moment, and it's going to be a great conversation. I'm not happy with this camera that I have, but let's see. Let me see who we got on the board. We got Wanda here. We got Hey, Wanda, how you doing? Fantastic. Good to see you. Who's this here? Katie and Nola? What's up, brother? Is it Christmas in is it Christmas in New Orleans already?
No. Well, you know we celebrate in July.
You still got the lights on the house, huh?
Yeah, that's the light.
Okay.
Yeah, we celebrate in July.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Tori's Galaxy, what's happening?
What's going on?
All right. And I see another face next to you, but they're not moving. I don't know who that is, but I'll get back to them. Sean, how you doing?
How you doing, my brother?
Sean Moore, all right. What's up? And we got... Yeah, I'm saying Sean Moore.
No, that's Sean S.B. Moore.
S.B. Moore. Okay, yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. S.B. Moore. Then you got Shonda J on the board. How you doing, Shonda?
I'm good. How you doing?
All right. We're doing fine. Let's see. Bev P. in Phoenix, Arizona. What's up, Bev?
Yeah. It's a house.
All right. And DJ L. Felder. What's up? Oh, Felder outside. He's walking around.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm doing work out the backyard. I'm doing it for Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay. I didn't get where everybody else was from, but real quick. Wanda, you're calling in from where?
Baltimore, Maryland.
You in Maryland? Okay.
Baltimore. Maryland.
Okay, I'm sorry, man.
Right.
Baltimore.
Hello.
All right, Okita, you calling from New Orleans. We got that. Tori's Galaxy, you calling in. LBC, Long Beach, California.
It is.
To the L, to the B. Oh, okay, anyway. And
there's, in the house.
All right, and let's see. There's somebody here on the screen, and they're not active. I see their face. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to open up your mic. You're going to have to do something with your camera, because all I see is just your face here. And Khadija B is in Philadelphia also, right?
Yes.
Okay, you guys. Now, we apologize. We did have some issues with Zoom, but we're about to get it started. Well, you know, Zoom is something, you know. It has its issues. You guys know that from time to time.
You didn't acknowledge me.
Who did I miss?
Karen F.
Me neither.
Yeah, you didn't acknowledge me neither. Felicia from
You just popped up.
So y'all in y'all feelings because the man didn't acknowledge
y'all. You know what I'm saying? Hey, hold on. Everybody popping up in a different...
Everybody ain't you, Lo.
Yes, it is, bro. Yes, it is.
OK, said, yeah, it's extreme.
I'm going to show your ass how sensitive it can be.
All right, so let me keep going across the board real quick. Big Mike from Kentucky. All right. I see the KY, and I don't mean the jelly either. All right. And then also, Leroy Graham, is that Rapids?
Yes, indeed. Grand Rapids, my brother. Michigan.
Grand Rapids, okay. What's up, my brother? Low static.
Yeah, I'm going to tell y'all, don't come to the comedy show if y'all sensitive, because y'all going to get y'all feeling so. I'm telling you, stay out the comedy show if you sensitive. So just come out and down.
Okay, you guys. All right, hold on, everybody, because we have 2 hours, but I want to say hello to everybody, and Corn is on the board, so we're going to get this whole thing started. But let me finish saying hello to everybody that's popping up. Felicia from Buffalo, Roselle G in the ATL. What's up, Roselle? You where I'm at?
In the ATL.
All right. Carol C in greater what? Carol C?
Greater LA, Los Angeles.
Okay,
California. Okay.
Poncho. All right, and Poncho. Hold on, everybody, just a minute. Let's say hello to everybody. Let's get this thing going, all right? Poncho, where are you calling from, my friend? All right. Michael M., GM.
Yeah, Michael Lennon. Growth Mean Change. We coming in live from Birmingham, Alabama, baby.
Oh, B-Ham. You right down the road, bro.
All right, now.
Janice G in Chi-Town.
That's my people.
Hey.
Keisha in Cali. All right. JB. Is that Maryland?
Jay Bism.
That's right. Home of the Ravens.
All right.
Jay Bism.
And let's see. May W. Already saw May. Emily J in L.A. Emily, your mic. You got to open up your mic, sweetheart. I see it's muted.
Get out of here.
Emily J. In L.A.? Okay. There
Emily
you go.
Emily J. in L.A.
All right. And then we got Leslie F. Tauto. All right, you guys, let's get this ready. Let's get this party started. Denise, we got a lot of people here to talk to. It is. It's definitely a party. I'm trying to get this other mic to work. Okay, so this is what we're going to do, you guys. Real quick, I want to say before I introduce our guest, real quick, I want to say congratulations to
Michael. Go ahead and mute yourself.
Excuse me.
He'll be in shortly, guys. You just had some technical difficulties.
Oh, he went on mute. Oh, you having some problems there? Okay. So first, I want to say congratulations. Okay, I just hit it. I just hit it.
We used for this. We built for this.
Indeed.
Hold on. Denise, go ahead. Okay, there we go. I got it now. I accidentally hit that. All right, so we're going to go ahead and bring on our guest. First, I want to say, Denise, congratulations on you guys' new single. You guys check it out. Love at First Sight. It's available, so check it out. All right, so you guys, let's get it started. This brother, you guys know him. We love him. We appreciate him. Multi-talented. But what we're going to do, we're going to open up the show with this clip. The One Man's Journey is about to crank up right about now. This is Cornelius Corny Mills. Hit it, Corn. Okay, we're waiting for it.
He's muted.
I don't see him on the board. Okay.
I'm like going under his name, you guys. He's having some issues. He had to restart, so he'll be here as soon as he logs on Zoom. So that's why nothing has started yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so just a few more minutes.
All right. Well, I'm seeing some other names that are popping up. Let's say hello to other callers that are coming in. And then let's see. Also, we got Los the Attic. What's up, Los? How you doing, my brother?
What's happening, bro?
Well, you know, we're looking forward to hollering at you. But while we wait on Corn to get his end taken care of, man, this single that you guys got out, which we're going to – that you guys put together – how many of you guys heard the new single? Anybody?
All of them.
All of them have? Okay.
All of them heard it.
We heard it.
Mm-hmm.
We heard you, Lord.
I
said I heard
you.
Just my family,
Mike.
Just my family right here, Mike.
I see a lot of Louisiana in here.
Without these people right here, Mike, none of this would be possible. We wouldn't even be here today.
We wouldn't be here today
if it wasn't for the visitors. That's
not that's
my peeps, Mike.
Okay,
you know,
I clown with them
because I'm a clowner. You know, I'm a stand-up comedian. You know, I do a little rapping. I do a little poetry. You know, I'm just SMT. So many things, Mike.
I know you ain't paid me my check yet since you so many things.
Hey, Carmella. Mike, you might have to put them in the graveyard. I'm telling you. You might have to put them in the graveyard because they're going to give me the blue.
They're going to give you the blues.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Mike.
No problem. Thank you.
Y'all be here.
Okay.
All right, Mike.
All right. So, well, you got your family here. I don't want them to come looking for me in Atlanta. I see a couple of them live here. Also, please unmute Denise Wilkerson also, please. There
I'm
you go.
Unmuted, Michael. Thank you.
All right. Fantastic.
Hey, Denise.
Hello. How you doing, handsome?
I'm walking like I'm going somewhere.
You better hurry it up too. Make it quick. At least we didn't spend your nasty day.
One step in front of the other. Oh yeah, y'all understand my old man nap. Y'all know I'm 60 through. You know, I'm 60 through. Denise. I'm 70 being 16. So, you know, I got to take them old man naps every night to restore my energy, you know? Yeah.
I tell my friends all the time, I don't look this good staying up all night with y'all, okay?
That's for real.
Well, see, that's the thing.
I don't look this good, but staying up and, you know, pounding around. I get to get my beauty nap, okay?
Yeah, I take that power nap. I stay up all night on, so, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, good. And your body clock changes, you know what I'm saying? At certain age, you need to get up really early. I find myself up 5:30, 6 o'clock, I'm ready to, you know.
But Denise, I stays in the gym. I'm not the average 70-year-old, you hear me?
Oh, right now.
Oh, he's flexing on he's showing muscles, huh?
Yeah.
We ate.
Yeah,
Denise, we should have had that old Diana Ross song on.
Don's ice cream. That's the same list.
I don't know where it was going. Must have some glitches going on, you know?
Yeah, we had some glitches at the earlier part. He had some issues really to get to
come out.
Well,
you know, if they call it on the phone, we can always make it the most of show. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's no problem. We just won't have all the music. And by the way, you guys, we are also being broadcast on Blog Talk Radio through TMGS. So there's people there. We're not going to take questions or answers from them, but they are going to be posting some questions in the chat room. So from time to time, I'll be checking that out. Plus, we'll be checking the chat room on Zoom at the same time. So now we should be seeing Corn popping up. There you go.
There you go, my dog. All right, I'm going to do one other thing real quick. Sorry about the technicals, y'all. It's a show business. And I was loving it. And look, Tony, while you were showing, I was loving it. Oh, you loved what I did about. No, I was loving it, bro. I was having it my way, dude.
Hey, it was going to be called the Attic Show.
The Low Show. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. Michael.
Yes, sir.
I apologize. My computer is really, really off. It will not let me onto Zoom, so I got to do it from my phone. I have to do the media a different way, too.
Okay.
So what I say to do is let's just do the intro.
There we go.
Ready?
Oh, we got to put our hands together for that. Come on, y'all. Give it up.
Janelle, I'm
going to
call.
Hold
you, sweetie. All right.
I love that intro, man. I truly love it. And
Thank you,
and I was looking at that, and when I looked at it, and as you know, I've watched it so many times, and I'm looking at all these artists. And fortunately, I've met a lot of different artists that worked in this industry for a long time. And there's very few that you meet that have worked with as many as you have. You follow me? That's what gets me is that I'm looking at these names, you know, Grover Washington, Vanessa Williams, Mary J. Blige, you know, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to pass the baton over to Denise. Denise, share some of the things that you've pulled up as far as or the things that you've seen that interests you about Cornelius Mims. Oh, she's on mute. Unmute Denise, please.
Okay.
Hold on. One moment, Denise.
Okay. There you go.
She's still muted. There she is.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. One man holding so much power. I love it.
I'm trying to get some of that power off of me, too.
When you can shut a woman up, man, you know, that's a lot of power right there.
Let me tell you. That's right.
What's up, Denise? How you doing, baby?
Listen, I am doing just great, baby, and I'm so happy that we are finally coming to this moment in time. I met you for the first time, like, a couple of days ago, thanks to Michael Gay. I love Michael. He always introduced me to such great and amazing people. And you, sir, have gone to the head of the class of the characters, because the moment I met you, I felt like I had known you all my life, and I have to say that you have quite the amazing story. So I just want to welcome you to the Michael Gay Show here on the Michael
Thank
Gay
Show.
And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I read your resume, and I am telling you, as an artist myself and as a singer, I find you to be such a consummate, well-rounded, all-around professional. I mean, you are a world-renowned musician. I mean world-renowned.
I've been a couple, two, three places, you know.
Yes, you know, a couple.
No, three, three,
let me start with just part of the list. Don't play with me. Eskenazi, Phil Collins, Tupac and Snoop. See, I decided to group them all based upon genre. Johnny Hill, Michael Jackson, what in Vogue, George Michael, Barry Mary, Natalie Cole, Brandy Peacock, and Beyonce. Listen, you had a chance to, you know, to tour with. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you so much, Bree.
Before we get into the nuances of all of these amazing musical relationships that you've had, I want you to take a moment to tell us exactly where you grew up and how you got interested in music.
All right. I am born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I will be 60 years old this year. I was born in 1961, so I'm a product of the 1960s, 1970s.
Amen.
You know, that's where I got my, you know, my footing, my groundwork. And, you know, I got to say, Denise, it was a great, great time to for music, you know, especially black music, you know, R&B music, you know, the music, our music. It was a great time to grow up. You know, we grew up with the Marvin Gaye's and the Aretha Franklin's, the James Brown, Staple Singers, Isaac Hayes, you know, and the list goes on, you know, of influences that I grew up with musically, you know, and then crossing over into the 70s, you know, by that time I was a musician. I was a bona fide musician by age 11, 12. And, you know, I was listening to the Commodores and the Ohio Players, Earth, Wind & Fire, those great bands of the 70s. You know, so I really gravitated towards music. It was a gift that my mother recognized early in my life. So she surrounded me with music, you know, musical instruments. And it was something that came natural, and I really enjoyed it. So it was right here in Los Angeles, you know. A lot of talented kids in my neighborhood, a lot of talented kids at school, and it was like a healthy competition that took place as we were coming up as musicians here in L.A. So really it all begins in Los Angeles, and particularly the city of Gardena, which I'm very proud of. I'm a Gardena Mohican. That's my high school, and we are Mohicans for life up here. So, man, you know, it all kind of started there for me.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I love that, you know, you included your high school experience, because mine was similar to that. A lot of richness and a lot of my appreciation came out of that. But I noticed that you play such a variety of musical instruments. Now, how did that come about? Because I know, you know, you're both known for bass, but looking at your resume, I think you can play a couple of things. You know, how did that come about?
Well, I tell you, Denise, honestly speaking, and especially once I became a pro, you know, because what professional means, that means you're getting paid to do it, right?
That's right.
You're getting paid to do it. So what ends up happening?
So you make money and sign a contract, right?
You feel me? So what's really the case? Like, you're talking about paying me, and you want me to play that instrument, and you're going to pay me to play it? If I don't know how to play it, I'm going to learn how to play it real quick. Because I got to get that money.
Yes, I get that.
But honestly, Denise, you know, I was experimenting all through my childhood. I mean, I remember wanting to be a drummer as a kid. So my mom bought me drums. I had an acoustic guitar. We always kept a piano in the house. You know, I even played trumpet. I played trumpet, trombone. I tried the saxophones, but I really didn't like the woodwind stuff. I was more of a brass guy. So I played everything in the brass family through school. So, you know, it was just the progression of growing up and maintaining the interest and wanting to try different things. You know, my parents were very supportive. So there was a point where I finally decided I wanted to play bass around 13, right? But what happened was my dad had already bought me an entire music store, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the equivalent of an entire music store was under my bed already.
Wow.
So Dad was like, look, man, you got a whole music store in your bed, bro. You know, before I buy you a bass, you know, I'm going to have to think about it. So,
take one.
Yeah. What about all that stuff, that accordion I bought you? What about that harmonica? What about the tuba?
I got a question. I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Now, growing up, I had one of those single mattress beds. What did you have, a deluxe king to put all those type of instruments underneath? I mean, woo.
You know what, man? I can't even remember. Probably I was like getting real good on them.
Oh, right.
I was getting real good on the instrument, and then it might not necessarily be under the bed.
I'm just joking.
Somewhere.
Right. In the closet.
Okay, Dad, I want to play something else now.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in the room, right?
Somewhere in the room. You know, it might be under the bed. Might be in a closet.
Right.
Might be in a corner. But, you know, it was like, okay, I got this one mastered. Next.
You know, I get it.
Yeah.
You know what? I saw one of an interview that you did, and I thought this was the cutest thing that you said. You said that you went to a Jackson 5 concert.
Yeah.
And you was watching Jermaine. You was watching everybody. You said you was in the nosebleed section with your binoculars, right?
Right. Yeah, you know.
But you were there, nonetheless.
Confidence in yourself. Now, quickly, I want to just touch back, and I'm sure that some of the listeners.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was that accomplished in my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought I was the bomb at 15.
That's love. That's
you couldn't have told me I wasn't. I went on as I became an adult. And as I got into the game, you know, I found out there was a lot more. And then, I got thrusted in early into the industry about age 20. And, and I'm still learning, honestly speaking, even at 59, almost 60 years old. There's still room to grow.
Right.
And it's been a nonstop growing process, just like life. You know what I mean?
Right. So they say that you never stop learning. Yeah, you never stop learning. You never stop learning.
You know what? Otherwise, you kind of lose your joy in what you're doing. So there's always this progression, even in any aspect of life. There has to always be this next level of progression in whatever you're doing, so that you can remain joyful and keep your joy in what you're doing. So I get that.
Yeah, you know.
So let me go ahead and listen, because we talked about the accomplishments that and all the artists that you've toured with, you performed with on their albums, on stage, and still continue to do so. But there was a point in your life
yeah.
where things totally changed. And that's a side that a lot of people who were family and friends did not really, well, not all of them really knew that about you and wasn't aware about that. You know, they were not aware. Back in the 80s, and pretty much as you said, that January the 1st of 1983, you got involved with some heavy drugs, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
Well, you know what, man? That was a monumental day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but let's go back. Let's go back for a second.
Sure.
My career started to kick in, right?
Mm-hmm.
The career started to kick in. Actually, the career kicked in officially in 1981. You know, there was a project that came out.
Okay, we lost him momentarily. Let's see. He should be back shortly. Danielle, do you see? Are you hosting the board now?
Yeah, I'm hosting. Hi, everybody. He must have got kicked off for a second.
Okay, so he should be back shortly. Let's take a look at the chat room real quick. We apologize, you guys. We're going to try to get that taken care of. Let's see. Okay.
A lot of our KCD family on here. Hi, everybody.
Okay, while we wait on Corn to return, say hello to some folks who just stopped in. Robert R. in Kentucky. What's up, Robert? Let's see. And Eric in Las Vegas. What's up, Eric? Can you hear me, Eric? Okay, yeah, I see you're on mute. We're waiting for Cornelius to return. Let's see. I've never known Zoom to have issues like this.
It's real hinky, right? It's real hinky right about now.
Yeah. It really is.
I flipped this here and there, you know. But we keep on pushing by any means necessary, right, guys?
Right.
We're slaying the buttons right about now. You know what, Michael? Why don't I take a second just to run down some of his other credits while we're waiting for him to get back
sure,
on?
Sure.
Okay with that?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes, okay. So one of the things that I really love about Corny is how well-rounded he is in terms of his talent. He is a multi-talented. And in addition to him playing so many instruments, I was very interested to see that he wrote. He also was a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote The Little Things You Do for one of the film soundtracks of the film He's Just Not That Into You, which I was very impressed by that. He wrote Hush for LL Cool J, and he was also involved in writing The Breakthrough, Enough Crime. That's one of my jams. How many of y'all like me every day?
Oh, yeah, you know.
That's our girl, baby. Still doing her thing. Matter of fact, she was just up here in New York receiving an award at the Apollo Theater for her major accomplishment. So it's amazing to know that Cornelius was involved in, you know, a part of her career, helping her music get heard and seen.
Right.
He was also a musical director. Now that's big stuff. That's big
you know
stuff.
What?
That's that runs everything
on the stage,
started.
Right? Everything
that's
on the stage.
Go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying everything on the stage regarding the band. He was the musical director, actually, for I believe the show was called Big Break, which was hosted by Natalie Cole, in fact. And
yes.
On that show, that's where R. Kelly was discovered. There was two other guys. It was three guys, and there was two other guys. I don't know if you guys know that story. But, Corny was the musical director there. And then for many other individuals and acts that will go on to, like, The Tonight Show and many other of the late night shows, Arsenio Hall, he would actually be in charge of putting together many of the bands that would perform for these artists. Not every artist has their own band, as most of you should know. I mean, not saying should, but they get guys or they're like, okay, I want this person to be the music director. I trust them to get the cats I want playing. You know, so corny being the bassist, they like, okay, put together a band for us to do these shows. So he goes out and picks the drummer, like a Derek or a Derek Organ or a Tommy Organ on guitar, or you know, just a variety of cats that he can just pull out of the hat and have just a great cohesive unit to perform for these artists. And that's what really amazed me, just the way that he was able to go down that road and put together those type of units. But as we were speaking, unfortunately, he's not back yet. I saw him pop up on the board, and then it dropped again. Los, as we were getting into that conversation, you yourself had some issues, and we're gonna have to change some of the whole planning of this conversation. You guys met when you guys were going through this whole addiction. And I love the fact that you call yourself what you call yourself, because you're not ashamed to admit, Los the addict. Right. You're a recovering addict. Let me ask you this. Some folks say, I used to, and true enough, you used to, but a recovering addict, how much is that a pressure every day for you or for anyone, you know, to not relapse? And if you don't mind, kind of like tell us a little bit about your story first before you answer my question.
Okay, I'm Los Daddy. You know, my story. I come up in New Orleans in the Free Housing Project. Okay, and you know, I can remember back when I was a kid. You know, I always wanted to be an entertainer. You know, I used to be in the police talent shows. It used to be called the police talent shows, you know, back in the days. And they used to have these talent shows in the projects every so often. And I can remember being one of the participants in one of the talent shows. And I won, you know. And I think Michael Jackson had the song "Who's Loving You," and man, I marked that up, Mike. I marked that up, and won the talent show. But you see, by the time I got in my teens, my drug use had set in. You know, at the age of 8. You know, I was playing Little League football team. Now, don't get it twisted. You know, I did everything a kid could do. You know, I was in the Boy Scouts. You know, I was on the Little League football team. You know, I went to school every day, and almost every day. And I did the things that kids do coming up in the project or anywhere, you know. But I was on the weekend, I was drinking. You know, I was drinking a little man, sweet pinos, because my first introduction to that was from my football coach. My little league football coach was an alcoholic, man. And I can remember we used to lose every game. And at this particular time, this game we was going to play was the first game that they had integrated, you know, the park, the playground. No, it had integrated. And we started playing the little white kids. You know what I'm saying? And this was our first game with them. But we had been losing up until this point. And he said to us that maybe if y'all drink some of this wine, y'all win a game. Y'all get some heart to win a game. Mm-hmm. And they had about 14 kids on the back of the truck, Mike. And only 3 of us drank the wine. But I was the first one to say, give it to me. So right then, let me know, you know, I had that something inside of my destructive personality that cried out for failure. I was the first one to say, give it to me. And from that point on, me and those 3 guys that said, give it to me, we was in front of the liquor store at 8, 9, 10 years old, giving adults our money to get us a little man, we used to call. You know, and then I graduated, you know, I started using sniffing glue and taking pills, and on the
weekend, still going to school, but, you know, that euphoria wore off until I finally dropped out of school in seventh grade, you know. But winning that talent show, I can remember winning another talent show. Then they told us we're going to City Park to the big one, you know, this the one where if we win this one, we might get a record deal. You know, that's what we was told. And, you know, I don't want to be a Michael Jackson. You know, I want, you know, Smokey Robinson and Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye, you know, all that was my idols, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I can remember going to City Park because I had made my way to City Park, bro. And when we got to City Park, when they called me to go up on stage, I was so oxified and wasted that I couldn't even make the stage, bro. And that was the end of my journey to, you know, to entertain anybody. You know, that was the end of my little career. Because from that point on, you know, I said, F it. You know what I'm saying? And I started doing what we were doing in the project, you know, running behind girls and getting high, running behind girls and getting high. Until finally, at the age of 18, I met a girl. She got pregnant. I went to the Army, running from responsibilities. Then I ran to the Army, and that was the worst thing I could have did because they sent me to Vietnam, and I got hooked on heroin.
Mm.
So I came home with a heroin habit long as Canal Street, man. And then that was all she wrote for any endeavors that I wanted to persevere was out the window, you know, because of my heroin addiction. You know, the only thing I did when I came home, only thing I persevered when I came home was drugs, finding means that we had to get more drugs, you know. And I suffer from a disease from which there's no known cure, Mike, you know, but it can be arrested at some point and recovery if that's possible. And that's where I'm at right now, you know. I got the thing arrested through going to the rooms to 12-step program, you know. And going to this 12-step program, I'm able to keep this thing at bay, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's always locked and loaded right between my ears, you know, because it's a progressive, incurable, and fatal disease. And it's progressive. It's learning as I learn, like, you know what I'm saying? It don't never go away. You know, I use drugs for half a century, man.
Wow.
I'm 70 years old. I use drugs for the majority of my life. You know, I've been clean 12 years. June the 19th made 12 years. You know, all right? And you know, I'm not out the woodwork. You know, I got a long way to go. But in this program, if you follow the lead of the program, you know, that I'm in, you use the tools that the program gives you, and you work the steps that the program gives you, you can find out that the person that I came into the rooms with 12 years ago, Mike, wasn't even me.
Let me ask you this, Lewis, and you know, I like your honesty about it, and congratulations, 12 years clean, man. That's one hell of an accomplishment. A lot of folks don't even get 12 days. But how many times did you relapse before you actually told yourself, okay, that's the last time I'm going to relapse, I'm going to stay clean, and managed to stay that way for 12 years? How many times
ain't no relapse in my story when I got to the program.
Oh, you never did? Okay, once you got to that.
Now, when I was using, mm-hmm. you know, on my own,
right.
I stopped for a couple of days and go right back. You know,
mm-hmm.
I could never stay stopped. I went to rehab centers. I couldn't stay stopped. I went to detox. I couldn't stay stopped. You know, I tried over and over and over and over, and it wasn't until I found this fellowship that I was able to stay stopped. And I'm Gucci now, man. I'm Gucci. You know, I know what to do, you know. And what this program offers is freedom from active addiction. And with that freedom, you know, no matter how old I am, all dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. I made a song called Mom and Them when I was 65 years old. It's on YouTube.
you know. It played on the, they used it on the TV on Mother's Day, on the news when they do the Mother's Day segment. My music playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
They played on the radio here in New Orleans on Mother's Day. You know, I performed it all over the city on Mother's Day. But you know, nobody don't want to sign no 65-year-old man, you know. But I'm just having fun with it. You know, whether I get signed or not, that's not no bigger, you know, because God has already blessed me financially and with a beautiful life after dope. You know, I never, if I would have planned that I'd be where I'm at today, I'd have been sadly mistaken, you know, because where I'm at today, man, it's just so beautiful without dope. You know, I was once a millionaire, Mike, in the 80s. I was a millionaire drug dealer junkie. You know, but I mean, millions of dollars, and I paid for that. That's why I can discuss this, you know, live anyway, because I paid my dues. I went to penitentiary twice, you know what I'm saying? But that million, you know, left me, you know, that disease stole that, because I suffer from a greedy disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wants to take everything I got. And it did. It took everything I got, you know. I went from being super fly millionaire to sitting on a milk cart fighting flies across the street from the project that I was raised up in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went from being a millionaire and Mike crawling on the floor, stealing $20 and $50 out of my wife's purse to get a bag of dope. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's how insidious this disease that I suffer from. But now, today, you know, I wouldn't trade where I'm at for all the money in the world. You know, the millions that I had back in the days, that's gone. I can't get that back. You know, that's just like today. When it's gone, I can't get it back. Today is the tomorrow that I thought about yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I keep walking like I'm going somewhere. You
know, and I love that title. I love that title. Keep walking like you're going somewhere.
I want to just think that it's really special in the world. And this is obviously a characteristic that's always been inside of you and was clouded by you using drugs. And I particularly disturb that a grown man would have been the one, how reckless and just how cruel and how non-caring for young people could that individual have been to have introduced to alcohol at such an early age. This is the thing where nowadays people would be prosecuted to the highest extent of the law, or, you know, there would be some street justice if the family found out that, you know, someone was in this fashion. So
yeah,
I'm
true.
Particularly curious about this individual with that person.
That was some time ago, though, right? you ever punched him in the...
My coach was an alcoholic.
Yeah,
my coach was an alcoholic. So, you know, his thinking was broke. You know what I'm saying? And I can't, after what I learned since I've been in the program, I can't never fault my coach because he didn't know what he was doing because he was an alcoholic. His thinking was thrown off. He, you know, he didn't care who he gave alcohol to because, you know, when I was getting high out there, I was getting loaded with my son.
Mm.
Okay.
So
you know what I mean? My son was shooting dope together.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're just as irresponsible now in your
because
of the alcohol.
Yeah. You see, alcohol isn't drugs. Drugs make you somebody that you're not.
Right.
All right, and that's what I found out when I got to the rooms. You know, and I found out that I wasn't that person I came into the rooms with. That was an imposter, somebody that I created because I didn't like me as a little boy. You know, and I didn't like nothing about me, you know, as a little boy. So when I started drinking the alcohol, it gave me a euphoria that made me kind of, hey, all right, bruh.
Like
you know? That euphoria, you know, yeah. All right, sure. You can talk to the girls now, man. You got a little false courage, man. You know, at first I didn't want to talk to the girls, you know, because ain't nobody like me, you know what I'm saying? But after drinking the alcohol, you know, man, shit, I started talking to the girls and going to the parties and kicking the girl. Oh, man, it was amazing at first. But then the euphoria wore off,
Right.
You know, and I start seeing the upper side of addiction. You know, and when I start seeing the upper side of addiction, it was too late. I stopped using drugs, but the drugs was using me, you see, and I couldn't stop. By no means, make me miserable and make me bewildered that I couldn't stop something that I didn't want to. I got high on stuff I didn't even like. I don't even like that, man. What would that do you? You know, that I don't like that shit. You know, and I took it that way. I took it anyway. I got high on stuff I didn't like, you know, and did drugs when I didn't want to do them, you know. When I cried sometimes when I was getting high because I didn't want to get high, but I got high anyway because the drugs had me by the tail like a pimp, you know. It had me, man. It had me.
You know? And
it affects
physically. You know what I'm saying? Depending on which drugs you're doing physically, you're always going to have the craving. Emotionally, behaviorally, it affects your brain. It affects your brain in such a way that you're always craving it. And even now, after 12 years of sobriety, I know every day it's still like self on that track, like walking like this.
Addiction is made up of two components, obsession and compulsion. Once I get that trick side here, you know, right now, if I'm clean, you know what I'm saying? If I get that fixed idea that I want me some drugs and I start feeling, I can almost feel it, and then haven't even done nothing. But by me using so long, you know, I know just exactly what I'm going to feel like. And if I get that fixed idea, and I'm obsession and compulsion, you know, it's the two components, man. If I obsess on that, I'm going to wind up going to get one, and one in 2 minutes. And 1,000 is never enough. That's when that compulsion's been there. And see, I came and get dead spiritually, mentally, and physically. You see, that's where the disease messed me up at. You know, I still had a few things. I still had a house. I still had a wife, a daughter, a car to drive, and all of that. But I was stealing money out of the girl first. You know, and I was broke financially. But I was dead spiritually, mentally, and physically, man. And you know, and that's when I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I was able to do something about it.
When you went through,
I want to change gears just a second there. I mean, I want us to stay on this, but I want to change gears for a moment. And unfortunately,
okay.
You guys, we apologize that we're not able to connect with Cornelius, or Corny, I should say. We haven't been able to bring him back. But now, you two met in this program, right? Can you?
Yeah, well, I came into this 12-step program in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and right now we're on Zoom, and we've been on Zoom since March 2020, and I met Cornelius back then, and we was going to some of the same meetings, and then I always tell the newcomers, hold your head up and walk like you're going somewhere, man, you know, no matter what it is, ain't no more big deal. No matter what you're going through, you got to keep walking like you're going somewhere, you know, and walk through it because there's light at the end of the tunnel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it means when they say you're going through something. Literally, keep going through until you get to the end because nothing don't last. It always goes away in whatever you're going through. But for 70 years, I've been going through a whole lot of things that I don't go through no more. So I know to just keep walking like I'm going somewhere. So that's where it comes from, you know. I was in a meeting 10 years ago. And I said, I'm going to hold my head up and keep walking like I'm going somewhere. I had 2 years clean. And that took off like wildfire. In the New Orleans area, everybody liked it that. You know, there was motivational. It was inspirational. And they liked that, keep walking like you're going somewhere. So everybody started saying it. I got on Zoom, and I was on a meeting with 700 people in it. And I had to speak. And I told all the newcomers, to hold your head up, man, no matter what, and keep walking like you're going somewhere. Corny Bams loved it. That spread like wildfire over Zoom. Anywhere you go, I heard an African. I told y'all when we was doing this interview, went to Africa, and I heard an African say, I'm going to walk like I'm going somewhere. It's like lost the object. I said, damn! Ooh, all the way in Africa, in East Africa, man, and or West Africa, one of them, and Barbados, and
there walking like you're going to. Matter of fact, in Italy, they had a speaker jam, and one of the topics was walking like you're going somewhere.
That's catchy. That's very catchy.
Oh, man. And then Tony said, we got to do something with this, man. You know, Tony's a musical joke. He said, man, we got to do something with this, bro. We need to write a song. We need to write a song. You need to go in the studio and put your little rap voice together because Tony heard my little mom in the song. You know, I like music. And he heard my little mom in the rap song I got, you know. And he said, you're going to be the oldest rapper in the world. I said, you got it. You're on right. I'm going to be the oldest rapper in the world. That's 70. You know what I'm saying? And, I was 69 at the time, and Tony, in about a week, man, Tony came back with this song, and I went in this, when I heard it, I said, wow, and I ran to the studio, I went and got my cameraman who shot my video for mom and them, me and him went downtown, we shot a video for me doing my verse after I went to the studio and put it down, you know. What was funny, though, Mike, when I went to the studio, all these youngsters said, what you trying to do, Pops? You know, that's what they call pop. I'm trying to spin a little game, bro. What's happening with you, man? Let me get up in this booth, man. And I paid the little dude his money for the let me go in there. And I give him the track and everything. And I went in there and I spit that. When I came out there, all them little guys who were talking that crap before I went in there was out of, gee, I'm going to walk like I'm going somewhere, man. You know? Yeah, now all the little young walking like they go somewhere. So that just don't pertain to just a recovering hand. That's for anybody with any endeavors that you're trying to persevere in. Like, you got to walk like you're going somewhere to make it happen.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Me and Tony met in these rooms, bro, and it was only by the grace of the big fella. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We hook up like this. You know, Tony coming up on a year. You know, clean and he goes steady, and I knew he won't go like he goes somewhere because he's doing the necessary things he needs to do for his recovery. You know, but we met on this platform, bro, and we put that song together. And the first week we put that song on YouTube, we had over 7,000 views. We got over 13,000 right now. You know what I'm saying? And then Mary put it on it. Erica Campbell, you know Erica Campbell, she put it on her Instagram page. They got over 16,000 on her Instagram page. It just been up there like about a month or so. You know what I'm saying? So, it's rolling, you know, it's rolling around. But Mama now, my son Mama has been on YouTube for 5 years and ain't got that many views. You know what I'm saying? Like just walking like you're going somewhere thing. Because, you know, everybody likes your blood. If it's possible. If the big fella say so, you know, and we get us a hookup where we can put this thing on TV. It's a TV show, you know, like the Oprah Winfrey show. Any one of them shows like that, man. If we can get on the show,
get that message. Yeah.
Let them see the old. Let them hear that message, bro, coming from an OG like me and an OG like Tony. Tony 50 through. And I'm 63, so we walking like we going somewhere.
There you go.
I'll be spitting, bro. I'll be spitting. I wish you could come to this convention, July 8th, 11th in New Orleans. Tony coming down, and me Tony got an extended version of this, and I got Mr. Moore voices to spit, and I'm about to spit it like, oh man.
Okay.
You
know? Well, hold that thought for a minute. We're going to come back with more. Just want to let everybody know, everybody here on Zoom and also on Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gaye Show, broadcasting live. I'm in ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And for the people who are on Blog Talk, you're able to hear the conversation. We're not taking phone lines. We're not taking phone calls today, but you can join the chat room in Blog Talk, or you can also join here in the Zoom chat. And you can join the chat room if you don't feel like, you know, putting your face up there. Unfortunately, we're not getting a connection with Cornelius. He's been in and out, so we're still trying to work that out. We're trying to see if we can get him back on. Don't know. He's been having some issues with the system. But luckily, Janelle is here. Well, luckily, you did say that. You did say that. But thanks to Janelle. She's running the board on that end for us, so I appreciate you, Janelle. Glad that Corn said, hey, look, we need you here along with us. And, again, I want to say hello to the Team of GS family on Blog Talk. For you guys that are listening in, I just jumped over there and took a look at that page. I see some callers over there listening. Thank you, guys.
No, I have a question, though. What made you guys choose the Curtis Mayfield song?
That was it.
He did all of that. He did all of that. He did everything. All I did was go in the studio and put a rap foot down to what he produced. Tony is a genius, man. Tony is a genius. You know, like they said, on Prince album, it said written, arranged, and performed by Prince.
Yeah, that's
written, produced, arranged, and performed. Yeah, you know, that's all those titles.
I never heard that on nobody else except Chris when he came up.
I love it.
Yeah, that's very true.
And this is the other thing I want to say about them Youngbloods. You know, they think they're the first ones to ever do things. They don't realize we did it, done it, and invented it. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to all of this music, everybody's like,
yeah. Somebody call me, call my name. Who's that?
Trouble shooting mode. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm really sorry about this. This is crazy. I'm crafting that.
Everybody's holding it down.
Okay. So, I'm kind of at a point where I don't know where to start. I this is really, really wild. But just where we were, as far as I'm concerned, is I was about to talk about.
Well, let me do this. Let me let you know where we went to while you were gone. We brought in OG Los and let him share his story. And he shared his story of what he went through because, you know, we were going to go with you and then with him. But now we can come to you and your story because he just shared his. So let's go ahead and pick up to where we dropped off of where you were saying of where after all the accolades and then in 1983, January 1st was when, actually you said it was a little bit before that, but at that time in that year, that's when everything started to evaporate for your music.
Top of the 80s.
Right, in 1983, I'm sorry.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
But all the while, man, you know, the music industry in the 80s, and at that time, you know, there was an element. There was a dark element that was always looming in the game. And it was a drug element. You know, it was a very socially acceptable drug scene within the music industry. And, you know, it was almost somewhat of a thing that was kind of welcomed. It was encouraged. It was... So it was fashionable.
Right.
To partake, you know, as we worked, as we did our thing, you know, we just made music and got high. You know, and nobody really thought much of it. Nobody thought it would be a problem. It didn't seem to be problematic. But one thing, and see, I'm a person in recovery now, and I've been recovery for a lot of years. Okay, let's talk about the meeting now, Tom.
I hear echoing, yeah. We'll drop the phone line and let's see, we see you back. Let's see.
Okay.
I don't see him on the screen yet. Okay, now I see you.
What's happening, brother?
All right, now you sound like you did on Wednesday and Friday.
Talk like I'm going somewhere.
There you go. You got there.
I'm walking like you're going somewhere, not going. Oh, I can walk now, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Bonnie,
close your shade.
Yeah, because we're getting a reflection from the sun. Yeah.
The light is coming in. We can't see you. You're so bright.
There we go.
There you go.
I mean, I'm so proud of
it. So dark. Which one is it?
No. You're beautifully brown, baby. Don't even.
Apologize, y'all. This is the weirdest thing that has ever happened to me in all of my Zoom career. I've never had it. What's up, Miss Adam?
Okay, good.
You've been hiding
your
mouth. Good.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't dare tell you, but I'm sure I can be the host of the show. Check it out, y'all. I'm going to try to move quickly now. Things appeared to be going really well, man, in the 80s, man. You know, we were making music. I was starting to get called by a lot of people. I found my life, early 1983, I was working with Marvin Gaye. I was getting calls from Patrice Rushen. A lot of people, man, you know, I mean, it was just escalating my life and my career and the money. All of that stuff was kicking in, man. As I was saying, man, you know, we started doing drugs, man. Drugs started being a very real thing. You know, in the early stages, you know, we did what we did. We made our money. We worked. We traveled. And it really seemed harmless, you know, I got to say. But as, you know, drugs is a very cunning, baffling, and progressive situation. And for me, and I'm only going to speak about me in this conversation, it progressed. You know, the
time, I haven't done what to do about it. I know my life had gotten truly unmanageable. I have majorly unmanageable areas of life. But I tried to push over. I thought it was something that I could just simply stop doing. You know, I tried to figure out the way to, you know, change location. You know, and then again, I was traveling a lot. You know, but I mean, wherever I seemed to move around the country, around the world, I took myself with me and also took a drug addiction with me. So it really, truly was something that I couldn't run from. And I thought I could. So fast forward into the 90s now, you know, there's been a lot of up, a lot of down. The 90s, you know, it just progressed as, you know, I went forward. And the 90s was yet another, well, in the music, thing, you know, a lot of things happened, a lot of great things, a lot of great projects, and touring really took off. But then all the while, man, you know, it was clearly, it was not going to get this. You know, the 90s was a cloud of success and failure all going on at the same time. So now I really, really, relationships that I entered into that was affected negatively. You know, I tried to push on, tried to hold on, tried to keep things together, you know, as the 90s progressed and just crossed over into the new millennium. But then, you know, addiction is a hell of a thing.
You know what I wanted to ask, sorry, just thinking some about it
say quickly now, you and I met each other back in the early 80s. You and I, in fact, we worked together, well, I have to say this, with Dennis Edwards. But see, I hear, right, yeah, the you know, that Dennis Edwards tour where we worked, you know, together. And see, I've never even noticed that about you. You know what I mean?
Well, I played it off kind of. You know, I was pretty good. Once I could get out of the setting and into the work setting, you know, I could shake the dust off, clean myself up, get into the rehearsal, get on stage, you know, and kind of, but that was the thing. You had to get me out of the drug setting and get me to work. And as the disease and as my addiction progressed, that became harder and harder for me to do. You know, literally put the stuff down and go to work. You know, so I had so many episodes, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Michael, that element, because if you can recall, I was talking about how prevalent it was. When we were doing the Dennis Edwards and the Temptations, that's where Michael and I first worked together. If you remember when we went to Oakland to do Ivy,
right?
We never even got that show done. We were in Oakland
for 2 nights.
We were in Oakland for 2 nights, but Dennis was down in L.A. stuck in a
No, he was in an apartment in Studio City.
Okay.
No, it was Studio City, and he had a and I remember we went over there, And we went over there, and he had a 45 of his hit record, Don't Look Any Further, tacked on the wall. I'll never forget that. And that hurt my heart. Huh?
All the way from Oakland back to his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And he was that way.
Yeah, he was, so, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The whole thing was starting to really, really take, run ravagely.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were getting caught up.
Well, we only did one show. We did the one show when we came back from Oakland. We did the show at, what was it, the Pick Fair?
In
L.A., right.
But
yep.
When we went to Oakland, Phoenix was the no-show.
Mm-hmm. Two nights in a row.
Two nights in a row, man. He never showed up. Saying is, you know, that was the time. That had to be 1983.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, that thing was starting to really run rampant. And, see, guys were getting picked off one by one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the disease was starting to take over. But, see, at that early stage of my life, I was so young, you know, I didn't have any clue about, you know, owning an addiction, you know, or even recognizing. You know, so it would be really...
You were just on the merry-go-round. So
I was on the merry-go-round today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this is major, you know, the major thing back then. I don't even want to, you know, get into the rumors of the various groups and what have you, you know, that I know were heavily involved in drugs. I'm talking about beyond marijuana, you know. Bad bout with it. You know, because usually when you're high, you don't really feel, you know what I'm saying, but if you start to
emotional and mental. I was convinced that I was insane. You know, there was an insanity because, again, as I tried to say early in the interview, my upbringing was very, very positive when I look at it. You know, I don't have the horror stories that a lot of people have in their early childhood life. I don't have the molestation. I don't have the abuse. I don't have the, the abandonment. You know, my parents were in the home. You know, I was close-knit with family and friends. So, you know, by 1992, I'm 31. You know, I'm in my early 30s. And I have amassed the success in the industry. And I've been beat up thoroughly by drugs. I begin to ask the question, why do I keep making this choice? Because it was pretty much on me. It was something that I would do to myself. You know, it would be a self-destruct.
Self-destruction, but, yeah.
Self-destruction. It was self, yep. I never had a life that was so negative and so, you know, nothing's going right for me. I can't seem to catch a break. You know, that wasn't the life I lived, you know, ever, really. And I always seemed to be somewhat of a liked guy amongst my peers. You know, people kind of, hey, Courtney's a cool dude, he's nice, he's funny, you know, he's a funky bass player, you know. So I wasn't the guy that people didn't like to see coming.
Right.
You know, by the early 90s, you know, I noticed that I was making this decision. And it would always be when I was right at the helm or at the crux of, you know, really crossing over to massive success in the industry. You know, at that point, man, if I just stay a little longer, you know, it's really going to blow. It's really going to happen. And it would be right at that point that I would make this decision. It was almost as if I didn't feel as if I deserved it. You know?
Was there a point in time, of course, where you asked for the name of the state free of the drug?
Yes, it was. You know,
I'm out of this thing, man. I gotta get myself together. Was there
a point? There were times where I would have amassed 3 years, 4 years. You know, I mean,
Okay. Let me go ahead and jump in real quick and give a reminder here. The time is now 6:32. We might do a little bit overtime, but the time is 6:32. And for everyone who is here on the show, again, thank you for joining us. We're going to open up the mics in a moment for a Q&A segment of the show. Not right now. We're going to go ahead and do this. But let me ask you this, Corn. Were you able to get your computer back up?
Also? I figured it out.
You figured it out. Okay, so why don't we do this real quick? Let's play walk like you're going somewhere. We've been talking about it. Let's listen to it.
Okay. That far right there, Don. You know, because something incredible has happened in my life, y'all. Let me say it real quick. You guys are associated, right?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Don't stop it down.
You know, something incredible that happened in my life, y'all. Y'all met Corny, huh?
Yeah, we haven't heard any music the whole show ever since we did the intro, so let's go ahead and let them start. Well, let them put on their shoes, and let's get to walking. Oh, it seems like everybody on the board knows the song, huh?
Okay, here
it
comes, y'all. Let's go on it fast.
All right, here we go.
Go.
Well, you know, once you fix something, it takes a minute. You know, sometimes your equipment will be like, I don't want to do that. I've dealt with it myself. It happens all the time. I see on the board a friend of mine I went to high school with, Eric, in Las Vegas. I see your mic. I see you there. What's up, my brother? Thank you for tuning in. I see you over there. Yep.
Yes,
Glad to support you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, my brother. Yeah, definitely. Are we ready with the corner? I don't see the video. All right. Okay, working on. And Lowe's, I love that what is it what is it called? It's not Will. Huh? No, the other one. Not Will, W-H-I-E-E-L, but W-I-L-L.
Will
Alignment. That, I love that stuff. That is such a great hook.
That's what keeps me here, that Will Alignment.
There you go. All right, we're waiting for Walt. I'm looking at the chat room right now. The chat is almost at 100. Chats on the show, so thank you guys. Y'all guys make me cry. Oh, who was that? That was Dead M. Let's see. Awesome Corny. That's my era. Thank you, Ike and Denise. And really, I want to say, Janelle, thank you so much, because you have been on the band. Huh? Yeah. Janelle, thank you for holding it down.
Yeah. I see Lexi out there. All right, let me play this video real quick, y'all, all right?
Yep. Let's go with it. We're ready. Still waiting.
Future self, Death, and Leroy. And when I say Will Alignment, I ain't talking about you, Bill from California.
Captain Lowe's, it seems like the runway is clear. All jets are landed.
Okay,
I'm gonna catch up on this Thursday and bring my partner home.
Here we go. It's opening. Sprinkle a little dust on there. How's that? Did you hear that some magic computer dust? One more time.
Yeah, that's gonna get it right.
Now that
should do it. As long as it ain't no angel dust.
As long as not
We're not doing that.
No. We gotta have a all right. See what's our volume looking like here. There we go. Widescreen.
I heard a lot of people sharing a lot of experiences at home, a lot of people
So, you know, I kind of had to prove him wrong.
Mic is mute, and Corn, you play it one more time. Is that okay? Everybody mute yourself, and let's hear it one more time. Janelle, mute everybody, and let the song play in its entirety so it don't clip. Let's hear the whole thing one more time.
I'm with that. Janelle, can you do the
honor thing? Where's she at? I don't see her. Wait a minute. Let me go to another screen. Another page, I should say. But we can wait until later on. Let's keep the conversation going. Yeah, I see her still there.
Let's do it at the end, Michael.
Yeah,
let's
go. That'll work. Towards the end.
What I'm trying to say is, you know, a lot of miracles started to happen as of last year. You know, I mean, the Zoom platform, along with recovery, the game. Because what Zoom allowed us to do is to connect all over the country. Like I used to do a meeting. I used to do my meetings in Los Angeles. Of course, most would do here in New Orleans. And then everybody would do meetings in their, you know, their respective city.
Mm-hmm.
But Zoom, whereas we could all recover together from wherever we were, you know, in the country and in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just on a major thing for the connectivity.
Yes.
So,
that's a blessing in disguise, though. You know what I'm saying? We could have never thought that having to live in this isolated situation because of the pandemic, right? And in the beginning, we were all in our little corners like mice, you know what I'm saying? And then we started to discover, well, wait a minute now. I bet your books, y'all got a little, well, everybody on here, obviously has a Zoom account for the
looking at how many pages that we have now, and we have a great amount of folks here. I mean, three full pages. That's just awesome. Folks in the chat room, folks on Blog Talk Radio are tuning in and listening to the show. So the time is now 6:51. Corn, what is it that you want? And in fact, really, both of you, Cornelius and also Los, what is it that you, outside of what you told us of what you have to deal with and your accolades, and of course, we're very proud of you guys and what you're working on. And by the way, I want to say this for everybody who's listening. On Wednesday, we had a conference call here with myself and Corey, and that was your what? 10 months.
Ten months.
Total thing now. I mean, and a lot of folks be like, oh, that's it? That's a short period. But no, that's from drugs and alcohol. See, some folks get off of alcohol. I'm sorry. Some folks get off drugs but feel like, well, I can still drink a little wine. I can drink a little beer. I can do, you know what I'm saying? Well, that's legal, right?
Alcohol is very much a drug as well.
Right, but I'm saying, but it's legal. See what I'm saying? But see, you cleaned yourself completely from all of it, right?
That was the thing, Michael, that I had to learn,
you know,
because it was alcohol that I relapsed on.
Okay.
You know, what has been my problem? It transferred, you know, after, like, 2009. I never did cocaine anymore, but I just transferred the addiction to alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets the problem, you know, because I'm an addict. So whatever I partake in, it's going to be problematic like that because I suffer from I've had to really, really own up to and accept. And see, now, and I'm telling you, it's been as of these 10 months and a few days, you know, these people, the people that are on this platform that I've been literally hearing all, just about all day of my life for the last 10 months and stuff, they have been showing me how to stay. You've got people like Deb from New Orleans. She's been in this process for over 28 years.
Mm.
You know, and one day at a time, she's been able to stay and keep her life on track and stay clean. But, you know, so that's what it is. Khadijah just celebrated 19. People show me that if they can do it, I can do it. My man Greg X is talking about 33 years, one day at a time, of victory.
Wow.
Over this disease. You know, so these are the hope shots, and these are the examples that it can work. Los just celebrated 12 years.
Right.
And the 12-step, you know what I'm saying?
The 12-step program that we in, bro, is so awesome. You know, it's the only thing that ever worked for me. You know what I'm saying? This fellowship is the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole entire life. In my 70 years of existence, this is the most fun, the most spiritual, the most everything, man, that I have ever been in my whole entire life, these last 12 years. So this is a hell of a fellowship, bro. You know,
resonate with you, and that goes with anything. Any issue that you might be having in life, if it doesn't resonate with you and speak to you, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to be able to embrace it to make the necessary changes that you need to make. And I'm telling you, I cannot commend you and Lowe's and Corny. You guys have just really showed us, you know, that you can overcome any type of a problem, any type of an issue with determination. And like you guys said, a spiritual sense of yourself and a caring for yourself. Caring for yourself so much is where it begins.
And the people that's on this platform,
yeah.
You know, the people that's on this platform, you know, I couldn't have did it without them. So.
Well, I want to go ahead and switch.
It's a weed thing.
Right, and I want to switch gears a little bit because the time is now 6:55. I'd like for us to do this is because we did promise, and we were really squeezed for time. We did promise that we will open up some mics and get some Q&A in, and I really like to give some folks. Is Corny back yet? Did you drop? Okay, you're there. Okay. There you are. Wow, there's a lot of faces on the screen, so I had to find you. There you are. Okay, so can we open up a couple of mics and get some comments from some of the people here in the Zoom? Is that all right with you? Okay, so let's go with page one.
Practice tradition.
All right.
We're on the radio.
And I'm going to see, let's see.
I'm going to call the hands. I just want to make this clear, everyone. This is not an NA meeting. So all that tradition talk, it does not apply here.
Right. This is a... Let's use our time wisely. Okay, so Janelle, go ahead and open up. Tracy, I'd like for you to show your face, but that's all right. I don't press anybody. Go ahead and open up Tracy's mic. Let's go down the line from page one.
Tracy, I'm going to ask you on mute. Oh, you good?
Yeah, hi, y'all. First up, my name is Tracy, and I'm definitely an addict. I don't believe in coincidence, so there is a true spiritual God-gifted moment. Listen, the reason why I show my face is because I done messed up and y'all bad with technology. My screen on the computer is sideways. So I have to call the technical people at the store to be able to get this thing upright. So anyway, like I said, I love y'all. And Cornelius, let me tell you something. I play your song every morning. Okay, because let me tell you something. Talking about getting up, it's like playing the oldies, and I am so motivated and inspired by the words, the wisdom, the experience, seeing all the addicts in that video. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, you're fine. Thank you. And the thing is that we're, as far as your phone thing, just go ahead and find rotation. Go ahead, try to just reach the top of your screen and push down and hit that rotation button. That might change. Do you want to go ahead and respond to her, Courtney? Okay, there we go. Let's see.
Dominique.
There you go.
Congratulations to everybody that's surviving and thriving. Peace to you, Los. I love to hear your story. And my man, Cornelius, man.
What's your story, brother?
You know what I'm talking about? I'll see you in a couple days, bro. You already know, man. But congratulations to everyone.
All right.
Hey, thank you so much, man. Dominique is a brother that has blessed my life. This brother is one of the most single-handedly talented